over and over.
Get the opportunity and the Wednesday night shiurim, talk about the day, the yom of the summertime, which is all around the summer. So I thought that since we are about to be ready for Shonish Tamuz, the Tamuz, of course, the month of Tamuz and Avra, the beginning of the next Tetkufa, in terms of not quite Yom Tov, but in terms of at least in Yana Dioma, and since we have been spending the entire year learning ordered topics related to Hilsa Shabbos, I thought maybe towards the end of our Azman, we'll talk a little bit about figures that relate to both Tainus and Avelus, particularly as they relate to Hilsa Shabbos. It's been pointed out already, there's also a little bit in Yom Yom in terms of Daf Yomi. There was a little bit of Sechatinus. Some of the figures are actually being discussed as we speak. So we'll start with the beginning. The first time I'm is actually a sugi that appears in Masechet Megillah. The Gemara is really, the Mishnah actually is beginning to discuss halachas of Purim, particularly when Purim falls out on Shabbos. Now, of course, we know the way our calendar happens to be set up. So technically, Purim cannot really fall out on Shabbos, but in the olden days it was possible for Yudal and Adar to fall out on Shabbos. And even the way our calendar is set up, Tezvav, Adar, Shushan, Purim can fall out on Shabbos, but every few years does in fact fall out on Shabbos. And we know it's very complicated. Halachas, what do you do when you have Purim coinciding with Shabbos? The reason for the complication is that you're not permitted to read the Megillah on Shabbos because the same reason you can't close Shofar on Shabbos, you can't shake the lulav on Shabbos, you're afraid to wake up to carry the Megillah. So to lay in the Megillah to celebrate the regular day of Purim and Shabbos is fully out of the question. So what do you do? The Mishnah tells us, when you have a conflict between Purim and Shabbos, so then you read the Megillah earlier. You never push off the Megillah till later. You always read the Megillah earlier. But in contrast to Megillah and Shabbos, there are other times that we have other conflicts between Shabbos and other events where the halach is the opposite, that we actually push things further on rather than make things earlier. So now the Mishnah lists off a whole series of different halachas that conflict with Shabbos, which obviously cannot be done on Shabbos, and they have to be pushed off until after Shabbos, rather than to do it on Friday. So the Mishnah includes the Valzman, Ate Kohanim, V'tishabav, Chagig, V'hakel, V'achver, V'lamagdimit. So we're not going to focus on most of these things, we're going to focus primarily on the phrase of V'tishabav. That when Tishabav coincides with Shabbos, but that is understood from the Mishnah, you cannot fast on Shabbos, then you now have one of two options. Either you fast on Friday, or you fast on Sunday. So one would have thought that just as on Purim, you make it earlier rather than later, so too on Tisha B'Av, you should make it earlier also. It would make a lot of sense to fast on Friday. So Kamash on the Mishnah, but that in fact is not the case. Why is that? So the Gemara explains a little later on that I do make for a new Salam HaKaminan. And when you're dealing with something which is there, something which is a curse, something which is tragic, so there's no great mitzvah to do it early. And you hope, why should we fast on Friday? Maybe Mashiach will come, maybe but a Mikdash. Why do we have to go rush to anticipate the start of Tisha B'Av? Nebuch, it comes the 9th of Av, and it's still Tisha B'Av, then you have to fast. Or if the 9th of Av falls on a Shabbos, you have no choice, you have to push it off until Sunday. So to make it earlier, that would be inappropriate. So Tisha B'Av is clearly one of those days where when it conflicts with Shabbos, it is not observed earlier, rather it's pushed off until later. So Rashi, on the second of the Marmikamos, Rashi starts in the third line of the Rashi, V'chein Tisha B'Av Shechalios B'Shabbos. The Rashi adds on, "V'hu adin mishivasa b'tamuz uli asar b'teves." The Rashi says that although the Mishnah is talking about primarily Tisha B'Av, we shouldn't think that it's only talking about Tisha B'Av. It's talking about all the other tainiyos, all the tainiyos that are related to the Churban, including shivasa b'tamuz, including asar b'teves. The Haidin noka Tisha B'Av. So why does the Mishnah single out Tisha B'Av? B'shem duchul lo tzaros v'akomis anin bo. Aval shart somos amirim asekas hashoshana rotsu misanin rotsu ein misanin. So Rashi is referring to the sugya that appears in Rosh Hashanah, not all that long ago in Daf Yomi, but the Gemara tells us based on Psukim that there are three different categories of history. as relates to the Hilchos Tanya. Sometimes the halacha requires to fast on the days of Shabbat Batam or the Sabbatayim from Gedalia. Sometimes the halacha requires not that you're not supposed not to fast, but the opposite. Sometimes the halacha requires these are days of celebration, and sometimes the halacha leaves it up to you to do what you want. And what does that mean? So the Gemara explains very simple. If you live in a time of Peronis, if you live in a time of Shema, you live in a time when there are decrees against the Jewish people, so then these are days of Tzara, these are days of fasting, these are days of Avelos, and you're obligated to fast at all of the above time here. If you live in a time when there's a Beis HaMikdash, then what are you fasting for? Forget it's a time of celebration. The days that at one time were sad now have been transformed to being a Beis HaSim Simcha. That's what we say in our davening. We say Shlichas. So all these times, we always quote the Pesuk in Zechariah. It says that these days are going to be yield the basis for all the Beis HaSim Simcha. The Gemara says this Mana Mikdash, it's not appropriate to fast. Okay, it's not to celebrate. But what about every time in between? If you live in a time where there are no outright decrees against the Jewish people, on the other hand, nobody can make the shita, what do you do? But the Gemara says, Ratzah is an and Ratzah she'edim is an. Then you choose. If you want to fast, that's okay. And if you don't want to fast, that's also okay. The Rishonim point out that even though technically Chazal gave us the option not to fast on these days, if you live in an in-between time like we do, nevertheless, once Klal Yisrael accepted upon themselves to fast, that takes on the status of a minhag tzibur, of a mitzvah tzibur, and the entire Jewish people has voted in the last 2,000 years that they're going to fast on these days, Shavuos, Matzos, Tevet, etc., even though they're not technically obligatory fasts. In fact, there are certain halachas that emanate from the fact that these fast days are not quite chiyuvim. The fasting of Shavuos Matzos, Tzman Azeh, is not quite an absolute chiyuv. It's based on the Kabbalah said Tibur. That's the reason why we don't start to fast the night before. Remember the sugyas and the tainis, that the most serious tiny of the serious tainis Tibur were 24-hour fast. So the Ramban explains that if these tainis would be the Ikar HaDin, there would be real obligations today, and we would have to observe them like Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av the night before. Since they only emanate from the Kabbalah said Tibur, the Kabbalah Satsiba was only to accept the partial tainus, the quasi tainus, like the low level tainus that the Mishnahs talk about in the Sugyas and Dafyomi these days, but the early tainus in the rain were only a half day tainus. They would only start first thing in the morning, the night before was permissible. That's why the Ramban says why we're permitted to wear shoes, we're permitted to wash, other things that are not technically permitted on a regular tainus, but on Shavuos Matzos, Sabbatavis, Tzum Gedayim, Bezman Hazeh, have a lower status of tainus because the Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah is on it. And there's a whole different title. It doesn't appear, at least explicitly, in the Gemara. It's a minig. It's an age-old minig. There are some who say that it has its source within the Gemara. There are some who say it has its source within the Megillah Esther itself. But it's a minig at Tibur to fast that itself. But the lowest, and all the run of time is Yom Kippur, of course, the most serious. Then comes Tisha B'Av. Then comes Shavuot of the Tavis, or Betavis, some Gitai, or together. And the low at the end is the tainus of Titus Esther. So we have many, many kulos to Zman Hazeh that are based on the fact that these tainiyos are Ratzah Mis'anin and Ratzah She'edim Mis'anin. That's why the Rishonim write, when the Ikra Din, the women who are pregnant or nursing, don't have to fast on these tainiyos, even though the Gemara says that women have to fast on Tisha B'Av. Even pregnant and nursing women, the Ikra Din, are obligated to fast on Tisha B'Av, unless there's some serious medical complication. But the Ikra Din are obligated to fast on Tisha B'Av, but not on Shavuos U'Tammuz. Why is that? The Rishonim explained, because if Shavuos U'Tammuz was a real chiyuv, and it's the same as Tisha B'Av. This is not a real chiyuv. It's based on the Kabbalah Satzibur. The Kabbalah Satzibur was that the women didn't accept upon themselves. The pregnant nursing women were not mekabels upon themselves to fast. I remember years ago I was in somebody's house who was on Shavuos Matzos. They fell down on a Shabbos. And there was a woman who had come over and who mentioned something at the meal that the meeting where she comes from, the meeting of her family, is that women don't fast on Shavuos Matzos. Not pregnant women, not nursing. Women don't fast on Shavuos Matzos. I turned around to the person next to me and I said in a joke, I quoted this Gemara. I said, Ratzah Mis'anin, Ratzah She'edim Mis'anin. So when we decided, they didn't want to fast. What we had in the world with such a minute, not a minute. Where did the joke come from? Where did it come from that the women didn't fast on Shavuot Mis'anin? The answer is pretty precious. That under the age of Bat Mitzvah, girls don't have to fast, and no one has to really fast. Once the girls turn 12 in the olden days, they'll get married. Soon after they become pregnant. They were pregnant, nursing, their whole life. So by the time, they never remembered there was such a thing called Shavuot Matzos. So that's the stuff where the minute came from. But if a woman is neither pregnant nor nursing, then she should definitely be fasting like the man, unless she's sick, like the man would also be fast. But I get back to the story. So Rashi says that the reason why the Mishnah singles out Tisha B'Av falling out on Shabbos and deleted Shavuot Matzos, etc., is because the Mishnah only wanted to discuss those tanyas that are real, real chiyuvim. So Tisha B'Av is a real chiyuv. It's chukmul about tzaras. So many terrible things happen in Tisha B'Av that Chazal and Masachin, that even if you live in a time where there are no gederes, even if the situation is not so bad today, one's still obligated to fast Tisha B'Av. So therefore the Mishnah wanted to highlight the real chiyuv tanyas. We don't want to talk about the lower level tanyas. The Rashi says the din would be the same. It doesn't matter which of the tanyas falls out on Shabbos. It's inconceivable to fast on Shabbos, and therefore the tanyas would have to be pushed off until after Shabbos. So if you look carefully at Rashi, and Rashi gives you the different examples of tanyas which are going to be pushed off, Rashi quotes Shivasa B'Tammuz, Rashi quotes Asar B'Tavis as well. Probably the reason why Rashi didn't quote some Gedalia is because some Gedalia, it's not even a discussion. When are you going to do it? The whole theme of the Mishnah is, should we have Tishma the day early or the day late? So Gedalia, to have it a day early would be in Rosh Hashanah. That's not even in the ballpark. And forget, actually the death of Gedalia, the murder of Gedalia, really took place on Rosh Hashanah. It was actually pushed off to left the Rosh Hashanah. So to go and push it back to Rosh Hashanah itself would make no sense. There was something that Rashi didn't even address this issue. But when it comes to Shavasa B'Tamaz and Asar B'Tavis, that's a real Shiloh. And Rashi says, therefore, it's similar to Tisha B'Av, even though it wasn't mentioned explicitly in the Mishnah. So the folks can point out that even though Rashi did give the example of Asar B'Tavis, it can't really happen. The way our calendar is set up, Asar B'Tavis happens to be impossible forever to coincide with Shabbat. But tonight, longest Rashi is saying, in the olden days it was possible, when there was still Makadish, the Chodesh, based on the testimony of the Eidim, but it's not as an impossibility, and therefore Rashi just kind of meant put it in longest Yom. Oh, very good. Even though Rashi is giving this theoretical example, which from Maisa can't happen, there are others who also talk about the theoretical example and disagree with Rashi. So there's a Beis Yosef quotes the name of Avudraham, the governor of Avudraham, wrote a parish in the Siddur, and one of other things. So in the Sefer Avudraham, in the late Rishonim, so he writes like you're suggesting, that if a Asar B'Tavis would fall out on Shabbos, you would have to fast on Shabbos itself, against this Rashi. It's very, very hard to prove who's right, because that hasn't happened in 1700 years, but we don't know exactly what they did when it happened. But the Avudraham has a Chiddush Gadol, which Beis Yosef writes, it quotes that one would have to fast on Asar B'Tavis even on Shabbos, which is really very, very difficult conceptually to understand. Even Tisha B'Av, which is, we said before, is the highest of all the tanyas, it's inconceivable to fast Tisha B'Av on Shabbos. Why in the world would even dream that Asar B'Tavis one would fast on Shabbos? So the answer that's usually given is said over the name of Chaim, based on the next of the Ramakomos. Also, Gemara that just came in the Daf Yomi a couple of days ago. If a person has a very bad dream, so he's supposed to fast a tainus chalom. We usually shy away from this bizman of day. If a person comes to me and says they have a bad dream, they forget about it. They get so agitated, they're so upset about it, so then you can begin to discuss the tainus chalom. But otherwise, we don't usually run to fast tainus chalom bizman of day. But in theory, if a person has a very, very bad dream, they're very upset about it, so then the halacha isn't supposed to fast, and the tainus, the enclosed of the tshuva, the tainus and the tefillos of the tshuva, will hopefully be annulled, whatever decree may have been alluded to in the chalom. The Gemara says that a tainus to the chalom is as good as eshel and oret. It's like if you take a flask or something and throw it into the fire will consume it immediately, so too the tainus will knock out the dream, will knock out any possible gezeirah. So then the Gemara continues, remember, of chizdu bo bayon. Now the only time that it's appropriate to fast a tainus chalom is on that day itself. The guy has a tainus chalom and he wants to fast a week later, that's not going to be the trick. Because some of the reason is because the whole idea of the tainus chalom is that the person is so upset, he's going to be so afraid of something, some gezeim and shemayim, that he's going to really do a real, real bona fide tshuva. If he just woke up from a bad dream and he's very, very upset, then the son will do a good tshuva. He's going to push it off for a week and then try to fast later, it's going to be a fake, it's not going to be a real tshuva. Not going to accomplish the purpose anyway. So therefore, the only time it's appropriate to fast Tanis Chalom is on that day itself. And then the Gemara adds on Rav Yosef Afilu B'Shabbos. The one is permitted to fast a Tanis Chalom even on Shabbos itself. The Gemara says that if a person fasts the Tanis Chalom on Shabbos, it wasn't great. I mean, it was mutter, but it wasn't great because Lamaisi lost out the mitzvah to the Shamsin on the Shabbos. So what should you do to make it up? Leisef Tanisa Tanisa. Then you should fast on the next day, in order to be mechaper for the fact that you lost out through the Shabbos. They get two for the price of one. So, the bottom line is that hopefully no one will have a bad dream as long as you have to fast, but in theory, you're permitted to fast the Tanis Chalom on Shabbos, but the mechaper for the fact that even though it was mutter for you to fast, but you're still in a nice loss after the Shabbos, you should have another fast on behalf of that. So the real question is, what kind of hetzer is this? What kind of din is this? You're allowed to fast without a shalom. The main matter is, even the more difficult, is that you're not allowed to fast Tisha B'Av. You just learned the Mishnah. Mishnah says that on Tisha B'Av and Shabbos, you push him up to last the Shabbos. What right do you have to fast the Tanis Chalom? That one is not quite Tisha B'Av. So Rashi says, fourth of the Ramakamot, Bafilu B'Shabbos Yochel Lathanos, today she is Batal Tzar Gufo. So Rashi says, the reason why Chazal permitted you to fast is because that way you won't be in such distress. What Rashi seems to be saying is that the other option to tell the person not to fast, he'll be more upset. He's going to be so nervous about the chalila, maybe the dream is an omen of something bad. He's going to be so upset, so distressed over Shabbat. So it'll look a bit of early Shabbat's double is that. But now we have to choose the lesson of the two evils. Should we tell the person to fast? That way at least he'll feel a little bit better about himself. Or should we tell him, no, enjoy your chillin'? Yeah, he's eating the children, right? But he's thinking, Khalilu, who knows what's going to happen there? So therefore, it's better to let him, Michael and the children, say a few calories in the children. They'll save a little bit more when he fast tomorrow also. But they're two for the price of one again. But this way, at least he'll feel better. So Rashi seems to be alluding to this idea that other Rishonim have also, that the whole idea of eating on Shabbos is supposed to be the Teres Oneg. It's supposed to make the person enjoy. If a person's eating, that goof is going to cause him to be miserable. But then there's no mitzvah on Shabbos. And other Shabbos will dictate that the Dafka doesn't, the Dafka shouldn't eat on Shabbos. That's what's quoted in Shulchan Aruch in the name of Yidah Chosid. Yidah Chosid, one of the Bali HaTosfos, they're from the group that were called the Chassidi Ashkenaz, a group of people who lived in Germany during the days of the Bali HaTosfos, who had a lot of different Midas Chassidus, from above and beyond, different Yidurim and Chumrit and things that most people weren't doing. So one is they used to do a lot of fasting. So Rabbi Yehuda HaChosid used to fast a lot, and sometimes if a person would fast a lot, if he would start to eat his regular meal on Shabbos like everybody else, he wouldn't feel so well. Rabbi Yehuda HaChosid sometimes would fast on Shabbos also. Why? So he explained, because if he's going to go ahead and eat, he just fasted a few days, he's going to go ahead and eat on Shabbos, he's going to get sick, his stomach's going to hurt him, so he's going to feel even worse on Shabbos. So he's losing out the mitzvah to the Shabbos. He'd say, I'm losing out to the Shabbos. The whole point of the Shabbos is I should feel good, that I should enjoy the Rosh Hashanah Sunday. If I'm going to feel miserable, if I'm going to have a stomachache eating through the Shabbos, I'm not mechuyev to eat through the Shabbos. The Posen quotes this in other cases, more down-to-earth cases for us. If a person has a person's sick, has a condition, whatever thing, it's hard for him to eat. Let's say, sometimes you have people who it's hard for them to eat challah, some people are allergic to wheat, whatever it is. It's very hard for them to eat normal through the Shabbos. And if they eat through the Shabbos, they're going to first get sick. But even though they're not going to be a pikuach nefesh, but they're going to feel miserable. But one could argue that such people are not chayv in Ronik Shabbos because having a meal is not going to create Ronik Shabbos. It's going to detract from the Ronik Shabbos. That's what Rashi seems to say here also. But it's said over in the name of Chayim, a different beer in this sugya. The reason why one is permitted to fast the time of Shalom on Shabbos is for the following reason. That we know that you're generally not allowed to fast on Shabbos. That's the Mishnah. Tishba falls out on Shabbos, you're not allowed to fast. But why is that you're not allowed to fast on Shabbos? Reb Chayim explained that you're not allowed to fast on Shabbos is because what are you accomplishing by fasting on Shabbos? Fast another day. In theory, it should be okay to fast on Shabbos. It's just that if you have an option to avoid it, you should try to avoid it. When Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, you don't have to fast on Shabbos. You can fast tomorrow also. That will also be a mitzvah of Tisha B'Av. You will also get a kiyum of Tisha B'Av even on the next day. How do you know that? Why should you get a kiyum of fasting on the next day? Not the ninth of Av. So that's what Reb Chaim is alluding to. The Mishnah and others have. That if you look at the original Nevuah about Tisha B'Av, about Shavuot and Talmud, it doesn't say that you have to fast on the ninth of Av. It says you have to fast B'Chodesh HaChamishi. Or it says about Talmud, you have to fast B'Chodesh HaRavi. Each one of the time years is singled out as a month of fast, the day of Torah that falls out during this month. So the Mechachinach and the Chaim explain that the original din is that sometimes during the month of Talmud, you have to fast. The month of Talmud is a tough month. So you have to pick one day to have a tiny steeper during Talmud. You have to have one day during the month of Av to have a tiny steeper. So the Chachamim look there that if everyone's going to pick their own day, the answer is you look for which events happened, what are the bulk of terrible events that happened during this month, and we're going to convey the tiny for everybody in this day. So in Shavuot and Talmud was the bulk of bad events that happened, even though there were some bad things that happened other days of Talmud also, The Gemara says that in the days of the first Beis HaMikdash, the walls were breached on the 9th of Tammuz. We commemorate Shavuot Tammuz on the 17th, because the walls were breached on the 17th, and the luchos were broken on the 17th. A lot of other things happened on the 17th. Then the 9th is also a bad day. So why do we choose the 17th over the 9th? So the Gemara explains that the Churban Bayis Sheni was more serious than Churban Bayis Rishon. It lasted for longer. So we lamaise fast on the 17th. But in theory, one could have made an argument to fast on the 9th of Tammuz. There are some who actually have a custom to fast on both. For some, it's not such a common custom as mine. There are some who fast on the 9th of Tammuz. So how do we understand that? Some events happen on the 9th, some happen on the 17th. And the answer is that the month is a month of Peronis. Tammuz is a month of Peronis, and Av is a month of Peronis. So now you have to figure out which is the most appropriate day during this month to fast. But in theory, if you fast on another day, it's not terrible. It doesn't really undermine the entire idea. Let's say the Marshal Tisha B'Av. It was actually, the Gemara says that we, of course, fast on the 9th of Av, but the Gemara says that it would have made sense to fast on the 10th of Av also. Why? Because most of the Beis HaMikdash was actually destroyed on the 10th of Av. The fire was started late in the day of the 9th, so the Churban began on the 9th, but the bulk of the Churban happened on the 10th. That's where the minute came from, to observe some of the Azalos until halfway into the 10th of Av. So how come we fast on the 9th? And they were explaining the Tchilas Perusa Adif. The beginning of the Churban, that was the most serious part of the Churban. But in Syria, it makes sense to fast on the 10th also. That's what the Acharonim explained, that if Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbat, it's not crazy to fast on the 10th. It doesn't. It's not absurd. It doesn't make no sense to fast on the 10th. It makes sense. You can either fast the 9th or the 10th. So in most years, you fast on the 9th. And every once in a while, if Tisha B'Av falls on the Shabbat, you can push it off until the 10th. But if you would have a tinus that would make no sense to push off, it's impossible to push off. Well, you push off, it's the wrong day, so then you don't push off. And that type of a tinus is done on Shabbos also. That's where Chaim explains that tinus chalom has to be on Shabbos. Because the Gemara said before, you have to fast on that day. If I'm going to have a tinus chalom a week later, it's going to be meaningless. It's not going to accomplish what it's supposed to accomplish. So since tinus chalom, you don't have an option, but maybe it's Decha Shabbos. Tisha B'Av should have also been Decha Shabbos. Except that you have an option to push off till the next day. The Chaim said, based on this idea, that's the reason why Sar B'Tavis is perhaps different from Tisha B'Av. Not that Sar B'Tavis is more chomer than Tisha B'Av. That's not true. Of course Tisha B'Av is more chomer. But Tisha B'Av can fluctuate. The 9th of Av is appropriate. The 10th of Av is appropriate. It makes sense. Sar B'Tavis, when are you going to fast? You're going to fast on the 11th of... Nothing happened on the 11th of Tavis. The Tosik says the Farish, the Etzer Mayim is there. That's when the siege was set to Yerushalayim. You're going to go pick another day to fast. That's meaningless. Shavuot of the Tammuz, anyway, the 17th is not written in stone. The 9th was appropriate, the 17th was appropriate. You can play with the dates a little bit. Tisha B'Av, you can patch with the dates a little bit. The 9th, 10th, it's all the same idea. But Asar B'Tavis, either you're on the 10th, so you're nothing. So to go ahead and push off Asar B'Tavis would make no sense, argues the time. So therefore, unlike what Rashi says in the Masechet Megillah, that Asar B'Tavis would be pushed off also, the Avud Ram, the Beis Yosef, argues, no, that Asar B'Tavis would definitely be pushed off, according to this Beer of Rabbi. Yeah, it's very, very hard to prove who's right. We don't have any precedent. We have 1,700 years. No one's done this because it never happened. So we don't have any historical record of what happened 1,700 years ago. Last time, a Sar B'Tavis fell out on Shabbos. But in terms of oneness, so this is a whole new insight as to what the idea of a Tainus and Shabbos is all about. Anyway, at least the Tisha B'Av for sure. If Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, then everybody knows we don't observe Tisha B'Av on Shabbos. We push it off until the next day. What does that mean exactly? We push off Tisha B'Av until the next day? So vis-a-vis the Hilchos Tainus Shabbos, we for sure push it off, no question. The Gemara says the Farish, to eat a regular through the Shabbos, the Pesach of the Yayin, even though it's technically on the calendar, the 9th of Av. But there are other dimensions of Tisha B'Av as well. There are Hilchos Avelus that apply in Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is not just a Yom Tainus, it has aspects of Avelus to it. All the Dinim of sitting Shiva basically apply to Tisha B'Av. The Dinim of Shiva, such as the Yisr of Talmud Torah, the Yisr of washing, all those halachas apply to Tisha B'Av, and they apply the entire day of Tisha B'Av. Those aspects which are only b'taras minug, like sitting on the floor, the ikra din, that's not a din, that's not a halacha, that's a minug, that's where that minug disappears, you have to chetzel. Generally, the breakdown of what Tisha B'Av is, whatever's halacha applies all day, whatever's minug applies to chetzel. That's why we put on tefillin after chetzel, because the Yisr of putting on tefillin on Tisha B'Av is not a real din, it's just b'taras minug. So there are aspects of Tisha B'Av that are not just Hilchos Tainus, but Hilchos Avelus as well. So the question is, when you have a Tisha B'Av that falls on Shabbos, do we say that the whole picture is pushed off till Sunday? Nothing applies on Shabbos. It's not just like a regular Shabbos. Or do we say, no, that the Hilchos Avelus do apply on Shabbos? The Hilchos Tainus don't apply on Shabbos, the Hilchos Avelus do apply on Shabbos. But when we say that the Hilchos Avelus apply on Shabbos, that's usually a problem, because regular Avelus doesn't apply on Shabbos. Well, not 100% true. When it comes to regular Avelos, there's a distinction between Dvarim Shebitzina in contrast to Dvarim Shebefahestia. Private aspects, private acts of Avelos do apply on Shabbos. Public manifestations of Avelos do not apply on Shabbos. If, for example, an Avel doesn't walk into shul with his sneakers on, because that'll be a demonstration of Avelos Befahestia. Whereas in the privacy of his own home, let's say, the Avel's not supposed to learn on Shabbos in the week of Shiva, but that's private learning, that's a private action. Well, if they attach to Shemitah to have a relation, when he's in the middle of Shiva, that would be also, that's the Dvarim Shebitzina, that would be also even on Shabbos. So the question becomes, when you have a tishma of Shekhalas to Shabbos, is that considered to be mamash and nothing? So it's a regular Shabbos, the kindness is pushed off, the Avelos, everything is pushed off. But do we say, no, that the kindness is pushed off, that the Avelos is still in full force, not quite in full force, partially, namely, vis-a-vis Dvarim Shebitzina, it would be knowing, but it wouldn't be knowing for Dvarim Shefahesia. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes in the fifth of the Maamar Kamos, and Hilchos Tisha B'Av, Chal Tisha B'Av Shabbos, Mutter B'Kulon B'Afilu B'Tashu Shabita. If Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, well, everything's Mutter, everything's okay, even having relations. Agor, the Ramah writes, V'Yesh Osrim Tashu Shabita V'Chein Ogit. The Ramah writes that the Ashkenazi communities have a custom to refrain from Tashu Shabita when you have Tisha B'Av Shechalit B'Shabbos. Apparently, being choshish for those opinions, that when Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, it's not a nothing, it's still a little bit of Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av vis-a-vis the halachas of Avelos, or at least vis-a-vis the dinim of Avelos Shebitzina. The later poskim write that even according to the Ramah, this is only b'taras chumah, this is not ikar adin, because the poskim say that if it turns out to be Leil Tevila on Friday night, of Tisha B'Av, so then we would tell the woman to go to the mikvah, we would tell the couple to have relations on Friday night, if Friday night is Tisha B'Av. It would be a real halacha, it would be a real issur, then it would be also even the Leil Tevila. It's a minute, the chumrah, whenever it's possible, whenever it's such a big deal, then there is such a custom. There is actually an important application of Hilchos Tishba, Hilchos the 9 days, really, that emanates from this discussion. The Gemara tells us, also the very end of the time is coming up soon, the Mishnah said that Shavu Shechavu Tishba has certain degrees of Avelos V'Ikar Adin. Many of the Minhagim that we have for the 3 weeks, the 9 days, those are all Minhagim. Not getting haircuts and weddings, all the stuff in the 3 weeks is all Minhagim. And just about, not everything, but most of the things from Rosh Chodesh Av is also B'Taras Minhag. But there are certain things that are Mi'ikra Din, but only in the Shavu Shechavu Tisha B'Av. So the question is, when exactly is Shavu Shechavu Tisha B'Av? The Tisha B'Av this year, Tuesday. So the Shavu Shechavu Tisha B'Av means starting from Motei Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. You know, those are the 3 days of Shavu Shechavu Tisha B'Av. If Tisha B'Av falls out on a Thursday, then you have a much, much longer Shavu Shechavu Tisha B'Av. If the 9th of Av falls out on a Sunday, then you have basically no Shavu Shechavu Tisha B'Av. What if the 9th of Av falls out on a Shabbos? That's a machlokes poskim. Some poskim say the 9th of Av falls out on a Shabbos, the Tisha B'Av is observed on Sunday, you don't really have a Shavu Shechavu Tisha B'Av, so you just perform the Tisha B'Av itself. And others say no. Others say if you have the 9th of Av falls out on a Shabbos, then the 9th of Av in Hilchos Avelos is Tisha B'Av, and Shavu Shechavu Tisha B'Av, often there, the whole week before, is Shavu Shechavu Tisha B'Av. That's going to have a lot of chumras in terms of the dim of Shavu Shechavu Tisha B'Av. For Ashkenazim, this is pretty much a moot question, because well, Ashkenazim have accepted upon themselves all the minhagim from the 9 days. Whatever can't be done during Shavu Shechavu Tisha B'Av, we already don't do either from Rosh Chodesh or from the 3 weeks. But for Sfaradim, it's an afkamina. So because Sfaradim really do have that concept of Shavu Shechavu Tisha B'Av much different than Ashkenazim. So for Sfaradim, it would have to be done in the Shaila. But here's good news for Sfaradim is that the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, Mutam Akula Fil B'Tash Shemitah, so the Shulchan Aruch seems to be paskining that when the 9th of Av falls on Shabbos, it's mamish nothing. It's not Tisha B'Av b'chlal. It's not Hilchos Tainis, not Hilchos Avelos, not Hilchos Shavu Shechavu Tisha B'Av. It's mamish zero. Again, if the Sfarim should ask the Sfarim Rabbanim for Achra as to whether you have a Shavu Shechavu Tisha B'Av when you have these kinds of situations. We had this question. There's a little bit of a question in the postgame. If you have a Tisha B'Av that falls out on Shabbos, so you have to tone things down b'chlal. Is there any reason to tone anything down on Shabbos? So if you hold that, mamish not Tisha B'Av, not Tisha B'Av. Look down. The whole Dover is not Tisha B'Av. What are you telling it down for? But if you hold that, it is a little bit Tisha B'Av. It's just that we don't tell you to fast, and we don't tell you to walk around and with sneakers. We don't tell you to walk, sit on the floor on Shabbos. On the other hand, it is a little bit toned down. If a person was sitting Shiva, his Shabbos is a little bit toned down to some degree. So would we say that when you have a 9th of Av falling on a Shabbos, that even those things that are permissible to do should be toned down a little bit? So I had the Shaila on my oldest son's Shal Zohar. My oldest son, Yaakov, was born on the 7th of Av, and that year Tisha B'Av was on the 9th of Av was on Shabbos. So the Shalom Zohar was Friday night. was on Tishma, was on the ninth and off, then Friday night. The Toskim put in Machlekes about whether you should have a toned down Shalom Zachar. So some Toskim say you should have a little bit of a smaller type of a Shalom Zachar, because according to some Toskim, it's all quasi Tishma. Others say, Shakir, others say you shouldn't draw attention to it by toning down the Shalom Zachar. It's going to detract from Shabbos. If you have to decide, I wouldn't even know how you tone down Shalom Zachar. Give one hour, two hours, one another, definitely what to do. Yeah, whatever it was, whatever we made a regular, whatever we thought a regular Shalom Zachar was, we pretty much made a regular Shalom Zachar. It's just that it had a built-in drasha for the Shalom Zachar. And the Taz writes in Hilchos Mila that the whole Shalom Zachar is supposed to be the Torah's Nichum Avelim, because the baby is so upset, it just lost all the Torah that it learned, so you try to calm the baby down and cheer the baby up. So that's where the name of the Arabist came from. If the Arabist was round, supposed to be like a stipple through the Tavra. It was a perfect drasha for Shalom Zachar Tishimov. Still about Nichum Avelim, so that was the theme. We tried to cheer it up a little bit more. Sometimes a little serious topic for Shalom Zachar, we tried to cheer it up a little bit. Anyway, getting back to the story. So this idea that Avelis is pretty much off limits on Shabbos, at least public manifestations of Avelis, this also spills over in terms of a discussion vis-a-vis Shavuot Shechavot Tishimov, vis-a-vis Shabbos Chazal. That's what appears in the sixth of the Maamar Mekamos. The Ramov, in Hilchos Tishbav quotes, in the sixth of Maamar Mekamos, Afilu Shabbos Shel Chazon, Ein Machlifin Libosh Bigdei Shabbos, Kiyum Bakasonis Levad. There are more quotes, Kostim in Ashkenazi communities, which we happen not to have anymore, but in some Ashkenazi communities, that on Shabbos Chazon, one does not wear Bigdei Shabbos. One wears a regular weekday clothes on Shabbos Chazon. What? Oh, yeah? Oh, that's okay. So there's some places that will do it. Or did it, whatever. Okay. So the Ramah writes that the only thing you're allowed to change your shirt. Your shirt's all sweaty. That you're allowed to change. But to put on a Shabbos suit, a Shabbos jacket or something, so that would be inappropriate. So on the seventh of the Maamar Mekamos, the Mishnah Berurah quotes that even according to the Machmirim, those who say you have to wear your weekday clothes for Shabbos Chazon, so he says that you're allowed to change your shirt. She'en olovish elu b'nei hazeah. He says, you're changing your undershirt or something, that's just because it's sweaty. Mitam zemut la'asav gama puz makos. You can change your socks off of it. Whatever is necessary for Zeah. Zemut la'asav b'shav shchav b'tishma. But the Kila Kadosh of Vilna, no'agin api ha'gra, the Mishnah Berurah quotes that in the holy city of Vilna, where the minig was based on the gra, lubosh big day Shabbos. That one should wear big day Shabbos on Shabbos Chazon. And that has become the almost universal minhag. Not completely, but almost universal minhag today in our community is to wear Big Day Shabbos, even on Shabbos Chazon. What exactly are they fighting about? A strange two minhagim? But according to the Ramah, the minhag is that you dafka should wear weekday clothes, and according to the Gaon, the minhag is you should dafka wear Shabbos clothes. What are they fighting about? So the Makor, they're arguing about the following. The guidelines for Avelus on Shabbos revolve around whether it's Tzina versus Parhesia. Any Avelus of Parhesia is clearly off limits on Shabbos. Any Avelus of Tzina is appropriate on Shabbos. The question is, where do you draw the line? What's considered to be Tzina? What's considered to be Parhesia? So the Rishon already point out that Tzina versus Parhesia are not absolute ironclad categories. You can have situations where it's going to change according to the time and place. There's a famous example that's given that takes us close to the name of Rabbeinu Tam. Is learning Torah considered to be tzinner or is that considered to be for Hesia? Let's say you have an oval during the week of Shiva. Is learning Torah called tzinner for Hesia? So Tosis is right. It depends on what the context of the learning is. If it's learning in your own house, so that's considered to be the tzinner. Nobody knows whether you're learning or not. Therefore, the oval should not be learning during the Shabbos when he's sitting Shiva. On the other hand, let's say there would be a public kind of demonstration. The oval would make some kind of a public statement and he's not involved in learning. So that would be a problem. That's what the Rishonim say, that let's say a person is called up for an aliyah. They call, by mistake, the Gabbai calls up an oval for an aliyah. The oval's not supposed to be an aliyah because he's not supposed to be laying the psukkah, he's not supposed to be reading along. So let's say a Shabbos, by mistake, they call the oval up. So the oval's even announced, I can't get aliyah because it's an avelus. That would be avelus for Hesia. So he has to go ahead and take the aliyah anyway. So the Gabbai's not supposed to give him the aliyah, but if he got called up, he should take the aliyah. So there was a Tosfos quotes a story that happened to Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam, the yeshiva, his shul, the minhag was that he would get shlishi every week. It could be good for the Gabbai. You get every week, you see that there wasn't a chassidish shul. It was chassidish, they would give him shishi. Rabbeinu Tam was a regular mishpacha, so he gave him shlishi. So he used to get shlishi every week. Remember when I was in Kermian, Rabbi Goldberg, so the yeshiva used to always get shlishi every Shabbat. So Rabbeinu Tam was always called up for shlishi. So when it came to getting shlishi, though that Shabbos when Tam was in Avelus, the Gabbai figured he was smart. The Gabbai didn't call Rabbeinu Tam up. Rabbeinu Tam saw that they weren't about to call him up, so he went up himself and took the Aliyah. So they asked him, "Hey, Rabbeinu, I understand." He said, "You taught us that you're not supposed to call up an Avel." So he said, "No, this is different." He said, "Because I get the Aliyah every week. If they're not going to call me up, so then everyone's going to understand the reason I'm not getting the Aliyah is because he's an Avelus. If a regular guy doesn't get called up that week, no one's going to bat an eyelash. Rabbeinu Tam insisted on getting the Aliyah because otherwise it shouldn't be a chashash of Avelus or Fahesia. So Avelus or Fahesia versus Tin is going to change according to the time and place. Like the Rishonim have a discussion about is it appropriate for an Avel to come to shul during Shabbos of Shiva. So on the one hand, an Avel is not really supposed to leave his house. Avel in the Yotzim Fetzer Beso. So during the week, he doesn't leave his house. Lester, I'm all right. So he has to go somewhere. So he has to sleep somewhere else. He doesn't have a place to sleep. Whatever. Okay, those are different cheshbonos. But basically, an Avel is not supposed to leave his house. So the Rishon already called, the court ready from the days of the Gaon, from the Haigon, who writes that, is it appropriate for an Avel to come to shul or not on Shabbos? So if Haigon writes, depends on how big the shul is. If it's a very big shul, then he shouldn't come. If it's a small shul, then he should come. What's the difference? It's obvious. If it's 1,000 people in shul, no one's going to know where he is. They'll think he went to another minyan, davened hashtava, a break-off minyan, whatever, someone else. But if there are only 15 people in shul, and the guy doesn't show up, so everybody realizes he never missed the minyan, but must be that he's an avelus. So that would draw attention to his avelus. The bottom line is anything that draws attention to the avelus is considered to be a problem of avelus for Sahetya. I remember when I was sitting shiva, the shabbos was sitting shiva, so I was wondering about is the rav supposed to give his rush, not to give his rush up when he's in Avela. So I had a split sock. So I didn't give my drush in the morning, but I did give my shiur in the afternoon. Because the drush in the morning, I don't always get it once in a while. It's a shredish, something, it's all night, there's too many things going on, I have nothing to say, whatever. Once in a while, I'll skip the drush. So it's not the initial reaction that, oh, the rabbi's not giving the drush because, oh, he's in Avela. Usually the reaction is, oof, okay, you got off this week, missed the drush this week. But imagine with the Mincha Maariv, I usually give a 45-minute shiur. What's going to happen? When we finish our nichol, we sit down and just sit and everyone's going to realize something funny going on. So that's going to be more of an avelus for Hesia. So I gave the shiur. I gave the shiur about the definition of avelus for Tina versus for Hesia. So that way it was at least the shiur in the end of the year. So that's a further shiur. That's the machlek is supposed to be about whether the avel changes or not. But some folks can say that the avel should not change his seat on Shabbos. It's asking for that reason. And others say, no, you can change your seat on Shabbos also. But it's not just fast, people change their seats also. Somebody sat in their seat, so they got bumped to a chair or something. So it's not going to draw such attention. So Rabbi Shlomo Eger, the son of Rabbi Kivega, writes that after the week that Rabbi Kivega died, so he didn't know he became the Rav. After his father died, he took over the Rabbanus. He didn't know should the Rav change his seat or not on Shabbos. Because to the Rav, he's going to change his seat, everyone's going to realize that's why he's changing. So he didn't know what to do. So the Gemara says that the change in the seat, the Iker did it only the first 2 weeks of Avelus. It's changed it. It's not for the whole year. Today, in Ashkenazi community, it's for the whole year. But in the Diva de Gemara, it's only for the first week of Shiva, and then the Shabbos after Shiva also. Some strange shear of Avelus. So Shlomo Eger writes that he didn't know what to do. He had never asked his father what the din was, so he didn't go to shul that Shabbos. He didn't tell him when he was taken. He didn't have. He didn't want to go to shul because he wasn't sure if he would change his seat or not to change his seat. Either way, it was a question. So he writes in the Sadeh Shacharach that he didn't go to shul, rather than getting involved in that shaila. I assume he had a minyan in the house. I assume people came to the house. I assume he had a minyan private. Anyway, so that's the reason why they had break off. Those were the house minyan of the days of the earlier Tzolk'im. They had a big chesh in halacha, so they had to make a house minyan for Shabbos. Okay, anyway, getting goes off the record that time. Anyway, getting back to this story. So what's the issue in terms of the wearing the big dechob versus wearing the big dechabas? And the big yasif, right, that he thinks that two different minhagim were purely an extension of the same idea, that sometimes wearing big dechob would be would draw everybody's attention to the avelus, and sometimes wearing big dechob wouldn't. So the yasif, right, in different communities has different monetary considerations. Some people were very well off, and some communities weren't so well off. So you had a lot of communities where everybody had Shabbos clothes, and you had other communities where everybody had Shabbos clothes. The whole year, well, every Shabbos of the year, there were people who walked into the shul in their weekday clothes. Now, look, not everyone had Shabbos clothes. So if you live in a place where not everybody has Shabbos clothes, so if a guy walks into the shul on Shabbos Chazon wearing his weekday clothes, our initial reaction is, oh, this guy must be an avelus for the Chorban. No, he said he ripped the Shabbos, he doesn't have another suit, whatever, he doesn't have any other clothes to wear. Whereas if you live in a place where everybody wears Shabbos clothes, it's inconceivable, guys, you know, walk into the shul with his weekday clothes. It's impossible. And now the guy in Shabbos Chazon walks in the shul with his weekly clothes. Oh, you see from here that it's available for Hasid. That would be inappropriate. So it could be that the machlekes between the Ramban and the Gros, along the Shemachlekes, they're all saying the same thing. It's purely Matthias' question. Each one is addressing a different sociological reality. If the reality is that it's considered to be off the radar screen to walk into with weekday clothes into shul on Shabbos, and then you would have to not be allowed to do that during Shabbos Chazal. That's what seems to be admitting. The admitting is a person we try to strongly recommend. Baruch Hashem, we're able to afford Shabbos clothes, so we're all weeks of the year we wear Shabbos clothes. All of a sudden, Shabbos Chazal, we're going to Baruch Hashem march into shul on weekday clothes. That's going to be a tremendous available for Hasya. That would be inappropriate. So maybe that's the reason for the different hood. Okay. Oh, so that's the question. The question is, what about why do we tell every person in Shloshim they have to shave for those of us who pass from Hesia? So many folks can say that the din of Avelos of Hesia versus not Hesia is only true vis-a-vis Shiva, because Shiva, the Nihugim of Shiva, are such a spirit to Shabbos. The guy's going to walk into Shul on Shabbos with his wearing a rip shirt. He's going to walk into Shul on Shabbos without shoes on. That's a bizarre to Shabbos. I'm going to walk in with not having shaven is not an expression of Shiva. It's an expression of a lower level of Avelos. And perhaps a lower level kind of Avelos is not a spiritually at Shabbos. That's a question whether that's true or not. But I call upon him, again, when we talk about a lot of these halachas of Tainus and Avelos in the 3 weeks and the days, and Shabbos Chazon, and Tishinov, and in general, halachas of Tainus and Avelos. So you always have to balance between, on the one hand, we're trying to observe the dinner of Avelos, Tishinov, Tainus, whatever they are. On the other hand, you have to balance them in terms of Kiddush Shabbos. I mean, Tainus is not really a halacha in terms of Tainus. It's the Gemara actually says that strictly speaking, one should try to speak less than Shabbos also. The Tabor Dover. The Gemara says that the Yerushalmi says, "Bekoshi pivushel l'shalom Shabbos." The Chazal permitted you to speak a Shabbos to people. For kosher people, some people want to be machmir. They don't want to be nichshol and be wishing someone a Shabbos. They want to relate to that Yerushalmi. But it's an idea. Tafkin up, speak so much on Shabbos. That Tainus Diva on Shabbos. That already it's really a little bit much for most people. Right, we'll stop here. Okay, next week we'll be in touch during the week whether next week was along. 2 weeks, I'll be in Eretz Yisrael for the summer. Next week I'll still be around, so I'll have to figure out whether we'll have to share next.